while they're taking the offering. I love this time of year. It is incredible to say Merry Christmas. I can't hardly believe I'm going to say this, but Happy New Year. I was watching the other night a great Christmas movie, Back to the Future 2. And they said, welcome, it was welcome to October 21st, 2015. Now, I don't know about you, I remember when that movie was made, when I first watched it in 1985. How many of you remember that? And it said, hey, Back to the Future, and they set this date, and we just went past it. And I thought to myself, in 1985, 2015? Oh, that's going to be way out there. And of course, you know, they came up with the concept, they'll be flying cars, and we'll be traveling through time, and doing all this stuff. And I thought to myself, 2015, if I'm even around, are you ready for this? It's 2016. Not only are we around, but here we go. It's just a vapor. It's moving quick. So let me say Merry Christmas in 2030. There you go. If I'm not around, Merry Christmas. I want to start out today by saying this statement in our Christmas carol. Peace on earth and goodwill. Peace on earth. You know what I want in 2016? I want peace on earth. That's what I want. That sounds huge. That's gigantic. We got soldiers, I think 2,000 special forces have now landed in the last couple weeks. They're attacking and doing stuff in Syria. We got soldiers in Afghanistan. We have stuff going on in Korea. We have stuff going on in Russia. We have stuff going on in North Africa. We have stuff going on in California and in Texas. So let me just try this again. Peace on earth. That's too big. That's just too big. Let's bring this down. I want peace in Detroit. See, now that's a little more realistic, right? Because we're close. Peace in Detroit. Let me bring this home so you can understand this. Peace on earth in Port Huron and Sarnia and Croswell, Lexington and Memphis and St. Clair, Marysville. Let me do this. Peace for you in your home. That's what I want. You know, peace on earth comes when peace comes to you. I don't think we can have the global peace ever until Christ comes, and he's coming, trust me. No, don't trust me, trust him. Okay, there we go. Let's get that right. But we can have peace no matter what's happening around us. We can have peace. Here's the problem. So many people in the world look at Christians and they say, hey, you're a Christian. Do you have peace? And the problem is, I meet people say, I don't want Christianity because I know Christians. And they don't have peace. They have anxiety. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? And so I want peace. If you know the Prince of Peace, you will have peace. And so I want to talk to you today about one of my favorite Christmas carols. It's the all-time favorite of all times. It's called White Christmas. And they made it into a movie. How many of you know what, right? With Bing Crosby, right? And Danny Kaye and that gal. I was going to say Sandra Dee. I don't think that's going to work. Whole different movie. Bing Crosby, he sang that song. It was awesome. You guys know the song, right? It's, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Don't leave me alone. Just like the... Right? Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the rainy streets. We don't have snow, folks. That doesn't work. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And the reason I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, and I chose that today, there's nothing like 3 nights ago having that snow fall down in another state. I've had people say to me, I don't know what to do. I can't get into this. Trust me, folks. You can get into this. Put your snow shovels away. But here it is. There is something about that first snowfall, because no matter how brown it is, no matter how dirty the cars are, no matter how dirty the streets are, no matter how much junk or litter's out there from trucks and people tossing their garbage out, when that first snow falls and 2 or 3 inches of that white powder, there is something beautiful about this world, because all of a sudden what was dirty is now clean. And what I love about it this morning is this. I can have peace on earth because Isaiah said it. He said, you're a rebellious people, but what was as red as crimson shall be as white as snow. Folks, I got to tell you some good news today. I was a sinner. I was dirty. I was like that ugly, rainy, nasty, mud-driven in my heart, in my life. I was that impure, unclean. And Jesus Christ came, and what was red and dirty and ugly in my life, he washed it white as snow. That's what Jesus did in my life. If you do not have peace in your life, it's because you go to church instead of bringing church inside of you. See, there's a huge difference between knowing God and having God. See, knowing God, everybody knows God. They just might call him something else, or they kind of see him out there, or they go to church. Even the demons say they believe in God. Believing in God does not bring you peace. Believing in God will probably bring you anxiety and stress. I don't know about you, but try that in the world. Go to your schools and talk about God. See if that doesn't bring a little stress. Go to your government and talk to them about Jesus and see if that doesn't bring any stress. Go to people and try to wish them a Merry Christmas and see if that doesn't bring about a little bit of stress. Try to shout, Jesus is the reason for the season, and see if that doesn't bring about. See, doing that does not necessarily bring peace, but what brings peace is when you take the manger out of the stable and put it into your heart. When the baby comes and lives inside of you because he is the Savior of the world, it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside because you have peace on the inside. That's what God does. Amen? Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Amen. I love, 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 love watching Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby. I grew up watching Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby. I mean, this isn't just, I'm not just a fad follower. I mean, I could tell you The Prince of Pumpernickel with Danny Kaye. I could tell you the other Bing Crosby movies. I grew up, my daughter said, who's Bing Crosby? And I said, he's a crooner. My daughter said, what's a crooner? I said, go watch Elf. What's a crooner? I don't know what a crooner is, but Bing Crosby was the crooner. When Irving Berlin wrote those 52 notes, that's all it is, in 1941, that's the first time White Christmas, 1941, first heard on a radio show sponsored by the Kraft Company on Christmas Day, 1941. Bing Crosby and Kraft Music Hall mainly appealed to young people. The average age of his listener was 21, so all the young people loved him at the time. Now they don't know who he is. But you know what? The longing and coziness of that awesome song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. When he sang this, see, when it first came out, the families that tuned into that radio broadcast in 1941, they weren't thinking about the Christmases they used to know as brand new. In fact, what they were thinking of when that song was released was 18 days before that of the tragedy of Pearl Harbor had just happened. Bing Crosby then recorded it in 1942. And in 1942, he sang it. It became the most popular song. It was played everywhere. And he toured, because you know what happened to those 18, 19, 21-year-old guys that loved it so much? They were now over fighting in Europe in World War II. And they loved it. You know why they loved it so much? And it played over and over and over on Armed Force Radio. The reason they loved it, because it reminded them of dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Instead of the blood and the bombs and the bayonets, they could think about mom and apple pie and the farm in Iowa and the apartment in New York and the home in Michigan. And these young men listened to it over and over. Well, Bing Crosby hated the song. in this sense. When he went over and he toured in Europe to encourage the troops and do shows over there, he refused to sing that song. He said, I will not sing White Christmas. It reminds every one of the soldiers. It reminds them of home. And then they're sad after I sing it. He said, so I am not. I did not come all the way over here to make them sad. And yet, at the end of each show that he refused to sing it, the soldier would scream out, White Christmas! And force him to sing it. And he sang it all across Europe and North Africa. You know, there's something that in the midst of battle that reminds us of something better. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter. My wife and I, we kind of shut down the TV this week, which is nice. I mean, we watched a couple of Christmas shows. I mean, it goes without saying, we watched White Christmas. And it goes without saying, in our home, we watched It's a Wonderful Life. That's just two traditions. Now, I know some of you like to watch your 24 hours of A Christmas Story. Trust me, he gets the BB gun, okay? For our family, it's all about reminding us that there are better days. And no matter what happens around you, can I encourage you? If you have the Prince of Peace, you can shut down. Listen, I know the world has battles. Every one of us have stress. You just spent time with your families. God bless you. Some of you are like, are they gone? They're gone. Hallelujah. I mean, some of you have hallelujah choruses, right? You got your TV and your couch back. You got your refrigerator back. You got your sanity back. It's family, right? You know what? I'm having fun. It's great to be with family. It really is. But you know what? You can get the stress of Christmas. Some of you went shopping out on this. Listen, the peace of God can leave us that quickly if we don't have it inside because everything that's on the outside. If the peace of God for you is simply an external religion, folks, you're in trouble this morning. I want to invite you to get the peace of God in your heart. That way you can turn on the television and go, hey, let's talk politics. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to see any Donald Trump. I don't want to see any Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. Well, what do we talk about? I don't want to see any Syria or Afghanistan or Putin from Russia. No, 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 no. I don't want to turn on CNN. I don't want to turn on Fox News. No, 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 no. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to look at that. Am I denying anything? No. I want to shut down and I want to focus in on the Prince of Peace in my life and realize I'm okay. Everything is going to be all right. Because there's a manger that he built inside of me and he lives in me. See, I've been born again. I have Christ. I have the Prince of Peace in my life. Listen, who holds, what prince owns your heart this morning? You either have the Prince of Peace or you have the Prince of the World. You either have peace in your heart or you have anxiety. That will tell you who the ruler is on the inside. Folks, I want to invite you into the greatest news I know. Jesus Christ can bring peace in the midst of the center of whatever's going on in your life. You don't think that's true? Mother Teresa, God bless her. She's in heaven just dancing, I'm sure. She's enjoying all of what God's rewarding her with. Could you imagine standing in line with Mother Teresa? Next.
Hello, I'm Mother Teresa.
Calcutta. A woman with the orphans. Oh, next. Hi, I'm Mitch Olson. Yeah. I do not want to be in the line behind Mother Teresa. Put me behind Stalin or Hitler. Put me in the line behind, I don't know, Mussolini. It's like, Mussolini, get out of here. Who's next? Mitch Olson. Oh, good. Come on in here. Right? Mother Teresa, true story. About 18, 19 years ago now, she went, there was a huge war going on with Bosnia and Herzegovina. There was just some crazy stuff going on, bombing and shelling. There was this huge war going on. Maybe you remember it. I know because we were living in Iowa and we took refugees in. And I remember meeting some of these people. And after months and months and months of our church helping these men and women transition, I didn't understand. All I remember is, Dobro Vice, good evening. That's all I got. I don't know. Thank you. You're welcome. How do you do? But I remember we put them up in apartments. I remember visiting. I remember one man who had his leg blown off from a bomb. He was a lieutenant in the army. And these people were escaping. It was bloody. It was messy. And right in the middle of it was an orphanage. And right in the middle of that orphanage were hundreds of children. orphan kids from this war, and they were being shelled, and they were hiding. Mother Teresa found out about it through the news, and she went to the UN. She said, get them to have a ceasefire. We need to save those babies. We need to save those little boys and girls. The UN said, there's nothing. It is so bloody. Nobody's listening to us. She called on world leaders. She called on the Pope. He appealed. Nobody would listen. She called on the President of the United States, and nobody could do anything. It was such a bloodbath. She said, that's it. And you know when it was? It was Christmas. And she just got a few of her nuns, and they marched right into the battlefront. She didn't wait for anybody or anything. And there's Mother Teresa, all 5'1" of her, walking right into the middle of a bloodbath. And she said, stop. I'm going to save these children. They all stopped firing. It was a 3-day ceasefire. Why? Because when Christ shows up, the Prince of Peace shows up with those who walk with the Prince of Peace. And when peace shows up, violence stops. And it takes a miracle of Christmas to bring peace on earth. You see, you can have peace this morning in the middle. You know what I'm reminded of? It doesn't matter what kind of hell you're going through. When you get the Prince of Peace, cease fire, folks, because that's who Jesus is. World War I. I have letters there. I'm not even going to read from them, but I have letter after letter after letter from German, French, and British soldiers. They were fighting for 5 months. It was the bloodiest bath, and they were dug in December of 1914, and they had the trenches miles. It was 344 miles of a front. It was the bloodiest battle in World War I at the time, and they said, this will never end. Christmas Eve, 1914, British soldiers riding and French soldiers riding. We can hear all of a sudden in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve, German soldiers singing Silent Nacht, Silent Night, and they could hear it in German, and they got done. They said it was the most beautiful sound we'd ever heard. And we all started applauding. And then we started singing. And then they sang our national anthem. And we sang their national anthem. Then you heard this from one of the trenches. You know shoot. We know shoot. He said, and then something happened that never happens. With snipers and the bloodbath, one of our soldiers peeked his head out to get a look. And one of the German soldiers had his head popped out. And then, you come out. No, you come out. And pretty soon, some German soldiers came out of the trenches with no arms. No. This doesn't happen very often, but let's just keep moving on. That's why they quit fighting. They had no arms. I should just stop the service. We're done. They were singing back and forth. It was such a miracle on that December 24th evening on Christmas Eve. As they came out of their bunkers and they came out of these trenches, the other soldiers came out and they met in the middle and they sang songs. They decorated trees with little cans and tins and things that they had. They exchanged cigars and drinks and tin cans and cups and bayonets. And they engaged in a soccer match, which the British still argue to this day, they won 1-0. And all of a sudden, they became friends. They talked to each other, and one German soldier told his story to another. He says, I don't even want to be here. How I miss my family back home. And pretty soon, the day ended. The evening ended, and Christmas the next day, and the next day, the third day, their commanding officer said, we've got to do something. There's this truce going on. Nobody's fighting on the front lines. What will we do? What will we do? We'll find our other notes. One soldier wrote this because the commander said, get back and fight. You need to shoot each other. You need to fight. That's your enemy. And he wrote this, quote, would the spirit of Christmas be maintained? Would ambitious statesmen and warlords who only think about the regiment officer and common soldier in terms of mathematics cast aside their ambitions, stupidity, pride, and hatred? Would they allow the angel of peace instead of the angel of death to spread his wings over stricken and bleeding humanity? I, or any of my comrades, as far as I can ascertain, we bear no malice or hatred against the German soldier. He has got to do as he is told, and so have we. I'm afraid I'm a darn bad soldier. I'm preaching peace in the spirit of Christmas. If God, amen? If God can invade hell on earth, he can certainly come to our home and bring peace on earth. He is the Prince of Peace. And wherever he goes, it doesn't matter how bad your situation is. It doesn't matter how bad your marriage is. It doesn't matter how far your children have gone. If the Prince of Peace can make his home in your address, in Port Huron, in Sarnia, in Memphis, in Fort Gratiot, in Marysville, if he can make his home there, can I tell you, we will have peace on earth. My wife and I had a unique opportunity the other day. I'm going to close with this. My wife and I had a unique opportunity the other day. Wednesday, you know, the chaos is chaotic. We were done shopping, which is fantastic. I think it's a first for me. And Wednesday, we were relaxed. We went and made a hospital call. We were praying with a gentleman from our church that's spending Christmas at the hospital with an IV. And as we were standing, as we were in there praying with him and just thinking how blessed we are and how much we have, all I could think of was, thank you, God. Thank you, God, because it wasn't just 2 years ago I was spending Christmas in the hospital with kidney stones. Thank you, God. And we were making our way out. We made our way out. We went down through the elevator, and it was kind of quiet that evening. There wasn't a whole lot of activity. As we made our way out, in the lobby, I saw the strangest sight. There was a biker gang. I mean, there must have been 20 bikers. They all had their leather donned on, and I mean, they were looking gruff. They had their biker women there, and they had their leather donned. They were wearing their colors. They had their skulls and everything. It was the Jokers. I think that was the biker gang. I said, the Jokers. I mean, they got their skulls and all their stuff and everything, and they got all their patches. And something was strange, though. As we were walking up, there were carts and carts with boxes and boxes of presents, wrapped presents. Well, I thought this was awful strange, and I saw a couple of the Jokers, and they were carrying boxes. I said to my wife, I said, I got to go over and say something. I know we're leaving. I said, hold on. I got to go back. And so I went back and I said, excuse me. And I found one of the guys with his leather vest and his gruff beard. I said, I'm sorry. I have to ask, what are you guys doing? What are the boxes? And he said, we've gathered all these toys and two giant plastic bags of stuffed animals. We're taking them up to the children who are going to have Christmas in here this year. I said, that is awesome. God bless you guys, which got his attention. And he looked at me, says, who are you? And I said, I'm Mitch. I was just here with somebody in the hospital. And you are? He says, my name is Preacher. And that's what it said on his thing. And this is my partner, Purgatory. Honest to goodness, I can't make this stuff. I'd like to make this stuff up, but I'm talking to Preacher in Purgatory from the Joker's biker gang. And I said, I want you to know something. God bless you guys for bringing hope into a bad situation. And I thought to myself as I watched him, and I got to take a couple pictures. I said, can I take some photos of this? People aren't going to believe this. So we took some photos, and they all gathered together, and Santa showed up, and they all went up the stairs and the elevators to go share Christmas. And I thought to myself, there are people in this world that most of the time would have no idea who Jesus Christ is or the love of God or the Prince of Peace, but it takes Christmas to bring bikers. It takes Christmas to bring Germans. It takes Christmas to bring people together and do the miracle. I believe in peace on earth. I believe in goodwill to men. And in 2016, I believe that we are going to change the world right here. And I'm going to invite you and your family to join my wife and I. On January 3rd, we are going to take a moment because there are things I've been praying for. It's like, God, would you please fill in the blank? How many of you can fill in that blank? God, I've been asking for so long. Fill in the blank. God doesn't answer my prayer. Can I ask you something? How bad do you want it? The woman who was the widow walked up to Jesus. Jesus tells her, she walks up to a judge's house. She starts pounding on his door. Open the door. Open the door. I need justice. I need food. Open the door. This judge grabs his plate from the kitchen, goes to the back room. I wish that woman would leave. Open the door. I'll go to the bedroom. Open the door. I'll go in my closet. I mean, what do you do when someone's just standing there pounding, 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 pounding? It's like my dog at 5 a.m. Woo, 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 woo. I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. I'm thinking, he will not, she will not shut up until my wife goes and feeds her. He refused, but finally said, if I don't, even though I don't fear God or care about men, because this widow keeps pounding on my door, I will see that she gets justice. Your God wants to show you justice. If you would just say, God, I want it. I want it. Like the kid in the line, you know your kids. You saw it at Christmas. You saw it in a line this past week. A kid standing there. Can I have it? 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 No. Can I have it? No. Can I have it? No. Can I have it? You better be quiet. Can I have it? No. Can I have it? 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 Shh. Here. Right? Jesus tells that story about you and me as a Christian. How bad. God, save my mom and dad. God, save my son. God, save my family. God, 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 save my family. God, I'm waking up this morning. God, I'm waking up this morning. God, 4 a.m, I'm here. God, midnight, I'm here. God, 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 God. We've got to want it. January 3rd, we're going to do a Daniel fast. Some people say, what's a Daniel fast? Daniel said, God, I'm not going to eat. He said to the king, I'm not going to eat the king's food. I'm going to fast. Now I'm going to do this. And he does it for 10 days, and then it continues for 21 days. And Daniel does this. He resolved not to defile himself. He says, God, my body is not in charge. You know how many times our body's in charge, and we just tell our body, it says, I'm hungry, feed me. I'm tired, sleep. I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to church. I don't want to do my Bible study. I'm not. We feed our body. It gets everything. For 21 days, we as a church, my wife and I are going to pray for you. We're going to seek God for your families, for our family. And we're going to say, you know what? We're going to eat fruits and vegetables and the menu, that anything that comes from the seed, and water. And we're going to seek God. Some of you might do it for 3 days, 10 days. Give it a try. Pray about it. But we are going to say, God, we want this more than anything. See, peace comes with persistence, but peace comes with power. And when you pray that peace with power, it says after 21 days, the prince of Persia was cast down. And God sent the archangel Michael and said, since the day you prayed, Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, it says, Daniel, do not be afraid. Since the day you set your heart and humbled yourself before your God, I heard your words, and I've come to answer that. In verse 13, it says, but the prince of Persia resisted me for 21 days, so I sent Michael, my archangel. Enough is enough. And I said, God, why didn't you do that on day one? And God says, if I'd have done that on day one, Daniel, you wouldn't have the story to tell. Because God does it on day 21 or 51 or for some of you, whatever. God wants to do a work in you. And if he does it on day one, your prayers aren't going to be the same. Your story will not be the same. You got to trust God. You got to be patient. You got to be patient and trust God. Do you trust God? You got to be patient because he's going to show up. So our Daniel fast is this. My Daniel fast, we did this last year, and we fasted, and we said, God, show us for a new building. Show us for what you want to do. And we trust God for that. But you know what, this year, can we just take everything off the table? Let's get everything off the cooker. Here's the only thing I want to pray for 21 days. I want to pray for your family and for our community. I want to pray for people to get saved, to find Christ, to have peace. We need peace more than anything else in the world. I guarantee you this, you can buy any gift for anyone you want, but if they don't have peace, you haven't bought them the gift that they need the most. The world needs peace, and the Prince of Peace. I'm going to pray for your children, your spouses, your parents. Would you pray for mine? And I'm going to cry out to God for 21 days. For 21 days. At sunset on January 3rd until sunrise January 24th. And there's these little cards in here. I can actually put down what I'm praying for. Put it in the altar offering plate, and we will pray for you. We will pray for you. We will pray for you every week for these cards. So you fill those out. You bring those back today, next week. You bring those back, and we'll pray together. We'll join together next Sunday night, and we're going to pray. I heard about a young man. Their boat sank, and it dropped into 100 feet of water. You probably heard this story. The ship went down in 100 feet of water. All 14 of his friends drowned. He was from, I believe, Nigeria. And everybody... The ship turned upside down. He found an air pocket. He was in there for 3 days, using up all the air he could. He thought to himself, I'm done. And the night before, he had spoken to his wife back in Africa, and she shared with him Psalm 92, and the Lord will deliver you. He will rescue from the snares, from the fowl's snare. The scripture goes on and talks about how God is our God. He will show up. And as he's thinking about this, he's thinking, I'm going to die. I will never see my wife and children again. Oh God, I trust in you. And he climbed up on kind of a makeshift bed as the water was rising and the ship upside down at the bottom of the ocean. And as it rose and rose and rose and he had that air pocket, he heard what he thought was a hammer on the third day. And what was going on is rescuers and divers were down there pulling out all the dead bodies. And they were sure everyone was dead. As they came into this thing, they reached up. And as they were reaching up, he saw them. And he reached down with a thumb and he stuck a thumbs up. And they had a GoPro on. It's all recorded. You can watch this whole thing. And he puts his thumb up. And the divers freak out. Right? They're down there pulling dead bodies out after 3 days. Now they see a guy down there doing this. They come up, and there he is alive. There he is alive. And he said, my God has saved me. I am a survivor. Doesn't matter where you're at, God will find you. Doesn't matter what your circumstance, God can deliver you. I want you to know that our God is the Prince of Peace, and his desire is peace on earth and goodwill to men. Let's stand together.